Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Natalie Sapinski, and you're listening to Returning Home. This week, we have a very interesting show for you. Three individuals, Moshe Dejman, who we met before last week, from Venezuela originally. He's making Aliyah soon, and actually I just got, after our talk the next day, this morning, I got a note from him that he has a date. He's making Aliyah on August 18th. So that's great news. Yesterday when we spoke, you'll hear him, he didn't have a date. He got it a couple hours after we got off the phone. Our second guest is a co-founder of a company here called LawFlex. She's an attorney, and she helps match up foreign attorneys with work, like a headhunter, pretty much. But it's very important to know about her because there are so many Jewish lawyers who are hesitant to come to Israel just because they don't have a sure footing here. They don't have accreditation here. They don't know how they're going to be working. That's the number one reason, I think, holding people back. I know another struggle people have is finding the right community, finding the house, finding a school. A lot of people also don't come because they have relatives, parents that need them. And, you know, these things happen, and these are very reasonable, and I understand. But we're talking about people who are able, and nothing's holding them back except their job. So LawFlex is great for people like that. And her name is Jackie Donner, and that's LawFlex. I believe it's lawflex.com. And my third guest is Lauren Isaacs, a 24-year-old new immigrant from Toronto, and she is the director of Herut, a youth group, and she actually came here on a work visa in March, planning to stay for the year, and after 4 days in quarantine, decided she was going to make Aliyah. So she has a very different experience because she made Aliyah from here, and it would be so great if people could do that because you come as a visitor and you just do it all here. And everything's easier in Israel. Everything's close. It feels like you're all part of one big JCC. And not just that, but you feel like you're related to everyone here, even perfect strangers. It makes life a little bit easier in some ways and not as scary. And you're never really alone. And you'll hear more about that when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Returning Home. We'll be back soon.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Wonderful. We're speaking here with Moshe Dejman from Baltimore. This is the same Moshe we spoke with last week, who was originally from Venezuela and is making Aliyah this summer. Moshe, welcome.
Thank you.
So, Moshe, why don't you tell us where things are holding now? The last time we spoke, you kind of gave us your background. You didn't have a date for making Aliyah. I'm hoping now it's 10 days later, maybe 12 days after we spoke. Has there been any change?
Yeah, so there's been quite a bit of change. This is a very fluid type of situation, and every day feels like a week. But there's been quite a bit of change. So we were waiting for one particular document that finally came through from Venezuela, which is a complete miracle that we got it through. And so once we submitted, that was the last thing that I needed to submit to get approved, and that was a real relief. We're very grateful for that. Because
yeah, tell me a second.
Really doing a lot of things.
What does that mean, really? When people are saying we got approved, what is that? Like, you got an email saying you're approved to move to Israel?
Yeah, you're touching on a very important point. you need to submit a certain amount of documents that in order to be able to be to have your application approved, in order to be able to come back. Every Jew who's a Jew can come to Israel, and that's always been in the since the foundation of the state of Israel, and there's a lot of passion for that mission, and Israel has that as part of its foundation. So it's a very beautiful thing, and everybody can do that who's Jewish. They require certain documents that honestly I wasn't aware of, and would be worthwhile for me to share. And that is, I had all, as I mentioned to you previously, I had everything always ready to go. I had my passports, for myself and my wife and my kids ready, and all my documents on hand. Just because I always wanted to have that, and in case I ever needed to do anything, I could do so. When I started this process, they required all of those things, and I had already all of that on hand, and that was great. But then they require these things called apostilles, which you would never know exist unless you're in this process. That is an apostille is a system of international notarization that is like a global standard protocol for these kinds of things, where a country who is part of it, and most countries in the world are part of it, submit a letter of authorization that the document that you're presenting, first of all, is from this country. It is being presented to this other country, in this case, Israel, and that certification is part of this international thing. So therefore, it's in the United States. If you ever need to present the real document, they know it's real because you're in the United States. You're giving it to a person in the United States. It's all within here, but you can easily mess with that system if someone doesn't know, especially a place like Venezuela, for example. So we're without this, there'd be a lot more doubt as to the validity of the documents.
Okay. But it's a certification of foreign documents. I understand. It's an authenticity system.
Which is every single state has its own process to do so. We had we had one from Chicago. We had one in New York. We had one in Maryland. We had one federal because you have to get FBI fingerprints, and from Venezuela. So we have to do five separate worlds of that. Which was quite a process, but we did it. It was fine.
Okay. I like to hear that. Good.
And certainly whomever is beginning to think about it should certainly get their passports done. There's a big backlog right now. You should really, whether you want to go or not, whatever it is that you decide to do, even if you're just not going anywhere, just get your passport. It'll take a while to get anyway, and you better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
That's right. That's right.
Then, we don't have a date. We don't have one point I wanted to mention is I immigrated to the United States from Venezuela, and now I'm immigrating to Israel from the United States. And the two systems, I've dealt with both, and they're very different because in the United States, they don't want you really to succeed in your mission. It's almost like trying to score a goal against the goalkeeper. And it costs you quite a bit of money to take that shot, and you have to take about 10 of them in order to get to where you need to go. And then with Israel, they're very helpful. They want you to go. And that was such a shock to me because my whole immigration experience has always been you're trying to like figure it out. And with Israel, they want you to come, and they help you. And it's such a world's difference of an experience that is really. It's really, as much as there's a lot of paperwork to be done, the process is so supportive, and as much as they're very, very backlogged because they're expecting a lot more people, they still make themselves available as long as you make sure that you let them know that you really want to go, and that's by calling many times.
That is so good to hear. I hope everyone listening hears that view. We don't get that enough, but you have a different perspective, and that makes all the difference. It's great to hear that.
And you can ask for things, like if you need to get things, you know, if you have like all documents that are missing one, you can attempt to help them help you with either, you know, figure something out with that, but you just have to be doing that. They're not gonna tell you this is what you need to do because they only wanna help the people who really want because they're so backlogged that they're, why should they help the person who may or may not, where there's someone else that really wants.
Interesting. Uh-huh.
That's my perspective. Maybe that's not the case, but that was my experience.
You're right. They're basically, they're going to help those who help themselves and who are serious. They don't have time to waste. So tell us again, you didn't touch on this on our last show. I think you and I spoke privately about this, but where are you going to live and how did you find a place to live in so short a time? You've made this decision, you know, this date, May 17th, your birthday, you decided to move to Israel and you already have a place lined up. You're paying for a place, I understand. Tell us, and the listeners want to hear how you managed to do that from so far away. I'm very impressed.
Well, I mean, also personally, quite a few things kind of happened as well that that helped us along the journey. You know, as much as I do mention to you that I hadn't made up my mind to go before my birthday, which is true. At the same time, before that, you know, we have a house with 3 bedrooms and we need more space for our family, and we were looking to maybe make an addition. Then Corona hit, we put a stop to that, and then we started to realize we ended up coming with the realization that whatever we're doing, we're not staying here. We're not staying in this house. So what are we doing? That already kind of lifted our roots. It kind of primed the way, you know. Yeah. So that was something that that happened that at the time I didn't realize what was happening, but looking back, clearly that was really step one. That was pre-COVID. Yeah. But getting a place over there. So I, you know, there's WhatsApp groups that have that post things, you know, no fee. Typically a real estate agent will charge you a month's rent for a fee. I was trying to, you know, see first if I can get anything done like that before. It didn't work. I ended up, someone contacted me in one of those no fee groups as a real estate agent, which is really very helpful, honestly, because we didn't know the context of the places that we're going. We're not there. We haven't been there. We're really doing this from afar. My goal initially was to rent a furnished apartment for maybe a month, do our 2-week quarantine, and then start getting situated. But it became clear that the time to get apartments is, you know, earlier in the summer, you get a better chance. It's doable later too, but you really, if you want to get the prime season, that's when it is. So we realized that we really don't have the ability to do it the way we want to do it. And this is what was recommended from people on the ground over there. Definitely cannot have done it without the help of other friends who are there, who have been incredibly helpful. And there are resources for that too. Meaning there is an organization that I know over there of a person who moved here from here over there. And the main takeaway that I got from him was it's always better to speak to people who live there as opposed to people who know about it from hearsay here in the United States, because normally they've heard of a negative experience of people who came back. And also speaking to people who are specifically making it and American and there are many people like that who are very willing to help if you're willing to look for it. Those resources do exist, and you'll find them if you look for them.
Yes, that's right. So there's Partners in Aliyah. There's Aliyah Community, Aliyah For You, all these groups. But what is this no fee?
It was a WhatsApp group that someone mentioned to me. They posted things, posted different listings of apartments there. We didn't really know, you know, they tell you the street where it's at and all those things, and we don't know anything. So we got this real estate agent to help us, and she gave us the whole context of the area that we were looking at. We were able to settle on an apartment that is suitable for our needs. And once we saw that, with a lot of these things, you just, in my view, you keep going with the flow. And if there is a red flag that comes up, then you deal with it. But if there's no red flag that comes up along the process, then you're good.
Right. That's right.
You know, you just keep flowing with it until you have to sign on the paper. And if all feels good at that point, you sign. And
you gotta move. It's, you're doing it in the right way, in the right frame of mind. You just gotta move forward. Everything, you know, not everything's gonna be perfect, but this is a first step of a year rent. You know, we did a year also. Smart. And you can lay the land.
I wouldn't consider buying before even being there. It's a year commitment. Honestly, you know, that's about like comfortable, like to get our surroundings, et cetera. And it's a place that fits our needs. That was another important thing that I didn't want to come from here having this space issue and then exacerbating it over there, that would not have worked for us. So the fact that we found something that we're happy with and that suits us and resolves that main issue that really, in hindsight, kicked everything off, is really a big deal for us. So that was, you have to know what your must-haves are and what your nice-to-haves
are. What do you really need? And some of what you think you need, you really don't need.
We'll be back after these messages. Stay tuned.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski. We're speaking today with Jackie Donner. Jackie is, I believe, the founder of LawFlex, a very interesting company here in Israel. She's going to tell us all about it. This is very important for those of you who are lawyers looking to move to Israel, because this could alleviate your concerns with getting certified in Israel. Jackie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Okay, Jackie, tell us a little bit about you, and then a lot about LawFlex, okay?
Sure. So I am a lawyer. I'm qualified in England. Originally, I'm from South Africa, and I made Aliyah to Israel as a child and then left between the age of 21 and 30 and returned to Israel at age 31. I have three children, and I founded LawFlex. I co-founded LawFlex 4 years ago. In Tel Aviv. And LawFlex is a new law company And what we do is match between freelance lawyers and clients, clients being both general counsel and law firms.
Okay, so your clients are mostly out of Israel and your talent pool is here, is that right?
So our client pool is half-half. We have a lot of Israeli companies and international companies based in Israel that we work with. And about half of our clients are outside of Israel. Our lawyer pool is 90% living in Israel.
Excellent. Okay. So are these American lawyers, British lawyers, French lawyers, what kind would want to come work with you at LawFlex?
We have lawyers from 21 different jurisdictions. The largest pool is Israeli lawyers. We have 430 lawyers in our pool currently. Around half of them are Israeli, and the other half are from all over the world, with the largest number being U.S. qualified in different various states throughout the U.S. After U.S., we have English lawyers qualified in England and Wales. That's our second. Third is French. And then it breaks down into different jurisdictions.
Excellent. Tell me how people find you and how much you can actually support them or how employment would work. Like somebody who does real estate, for instance, in New York, and they want to make Aliyah, would they be able to work with LawFlex and support their family here?
So it really depends. So let me first say that one of the reasons that we founded LawFlex was to help Olim. Being an Ola myself, I realized that a lot of people come with these elaborate careers from all over the world, and then they get to Israel, and it's a challenge to work here. And lawyers have a few options when they move to Israel. One of them is to keep doing what they're doing for clients overseas. The second is to re-qualify as an Israeli lawyer, and the third is to register as a foreign qualified lawyer. And I can talk you through more of that if you're interested. But those who choose any of the three paths can connect to LawFlex, and we're able to provide work either as a filler. So if somebody has clients already and they want to fill part of their time, or we aim to help people to place them at law firms in Israel. And as a third option, they can work with LawFlex on projects, various projects that we have around the world.
Sure. I would think litigation, scanning through documents, that type of thing, that's hourly work, you know, that's probably a bulk of your work. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the work that we do is litigation, e-discovery support, document review. And that's for U.S. law firms and companies outside of Israel.
Sure. So who are your competitors? I got to ask.
So our competitors are mainly companies outside of Israel. So companies like Lawyers on Demand, Elevate, who do a similar thing to us. And today, because most of the work is remote, it doesn't really matter where they're based.
That's right. So
those are our big competitors.
Yeah, so the lawyers here also, something very obvious, but I've got to say it anyway, you know, wherever you're living here, you could be living in Efrat, you could be living in Jerusalem, you could be living in the mountains, in the Judean hills, right? You can be servicing your clients, doesn't matter where you are. You could be in the Bahamas, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Which is why, by the way, when people make Aliyah, we're often contacted before they make Aliyah to understand the legal market here, and we're very happy to help anybody who wants information. And my advice is always, if you can move to Israel and live in Efrat or wherever you're living and still service the same clients that you were servicing when you lived in New York, then that's always the best way to go.
Yeah.
It's just such a saturated market in Israel and so much competition that it's a great way to move here and keep your clients. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's even more doable today than ever because of the corona. Yeah, the coronavirus has made everyone everywhere forced to work online. Forced.
Completely agree with you. So before, when clients were weary about working with, or even employers were weary about having people work remotely, now they've seen that not only is it doable, but sometimes it's even more efficient.
Yeah. And how about CLEs? Do you help with CLEs at all? I got to know. It's very frustrating. You know, when you have your yearly requirement, and I'm an attorney, and I had to, for years, searching for where can I do my CLEs. And I would go to Eilat and do the Bar Association meetings there because we were only allowed 4 online. Now, and I'm sure Pennsylvania, like other states, have, you know, allowed everything to be online. Do you help? Do you have any role in supplying CLE workshops, CLE credits? Do you do that?
So we have lectures that we provide to our freelancers. Sometimes it's professional, and sometimes it's professional work tools. I don't know always whether they would qualify as not or not, but we also are constantly posting on our blog information that people can access.
All right. So now you got it. You keep mentioning your website, your blog. Why don't you say it real loud for our listeners so they can find you?
Sure. So it's www.lawflex.com. And Lawflex is LAWFLEX. .com. And as I said, we're more than happy to provide loads of information to anyone who's interested in what it takes to survive in the Israeli legal market, the ins and outs of the exams, any information that people need, we're happy to provide it.
That is great, Jackie. Okay, so this is Jackie Donner. Jackie, can you provide your personal email too?
Jackie, J-A-C-K-I-E, at lawflex.com.
Okay, everybody hear that? Contact Jackie if you want to move to Israel and you're a lawyer, and tell your friends the same, because there is nothing to hold anyone back today. Wonderful. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it. And I really hope that people share this with their friends, because there's always those naysayers making excuses. And, you know, I'm not putting them down. It's scary to move to a place. You got to have work. And for years and years, this was a big stumbling block. You know, it was a big reason people would not move. I can't move. I'm not going to be able to work. Well, now that wall is gone. It is gone.
Yeah.
It's like the one good thing that we could all, you know, now working online is not only normal, but it is acceptable, and it is like totally reasonable. You don't need to say, I can only come into the office twice a week, or any of this. No, it's gone. I think it's freed a lot of women. And, you know, that's one good thing that's happened, right? One good thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, great. Well, thank you, Jackie. Really appreciate your information and your service. And you've been, you know, I'm sure helping many people so far. You're going to, I know, grow. Where else do you have offices, if not Tel Aviv? Is that your one hub?
Yeah, look, our office, we've been working remotely for 4 years, so pre-corona, but our headquarters is in Tel Aviv.
Okay, so tell me quickly, before I let you go, you mentioned that there is some kind of internship program. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
So an internship program that we work closely with is called Onwards Israel. And Onward is a great program. They bring close to 3,000 students every year to Israel. And during the summers, we help them host students, university students who are looking to work at Israeli law firms. This year, the program was remote. Hopefully next year, it'll be physical again. But we'll wait and see what happens.
So that's great. That's really good. All you young people out there in law school in your 20s, looking for internships in the summer, Israel is a great place to do that internship. You can be here, you can live an Israeli life, right, while getting your credits and getting your experience. How many spots do you usually fill?
Well, the law program is still in diapers. We started it last year, so we place around 30 students at law firms currently, but hopefully that number will grow.
Still in diapers. That's a new one for me. I'm going to use that. That is great. I like that one, Jackie. Okay, okay. So thank you. Internships, good place to come. LawFlex, if you're a lawyer already, if you're looking to do your internship and get experience on the ground. Excellent, Jackie. That's very, very valuable information. The students, you know, just because the coronavirus is making it tough now, it will go away and things will return, hopefully, Bizrat Hashem. And, you know, tons of students are here in the summer, and it's a great place to be, and it's a great place to get your feet wet. It's very good, very good service. You're doing a great job. Thank you, Jackie. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
And we will be right back after these messages.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
So welcome to Returning Home. I'm speaking here with Lauren Isaacs. She's a new Ola, a new immigrant from Canada. And I actually was introduced to her about a year ago. A friend of mine thought we should meet because she is a representative for Zionists all over Canada and a group called Herut. She's going to tell us a little bit about that in just a minute. And I actually had the opportunity to meet her in person recently during a joint event I did with Regavim in Gush Etzion. And it was pretty funny because everybody was wearing masks, so I didn't even recognize her. This happens now in the age of corona, right, Lauren? It's a crazy world.
It's like we're meeting brand new people.
Yeah. All right. So welcome to the show, Lauren. Thank you for joining us. I know you're a busy girl. So I want to hear about your Aliyah story, if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I actually didn't intend on making Aliyah when I came to Israel. I came here on a work visa, and I was going to stay for 1 year and go back to Canada. But I got here, I landed, and it was in the middle of Corona. It was actually the week that they shut the borders completely to tourists. So I came here and I went straight into Bidud, straight into quarantine. And I was here, you know, about 4 days before I decided that I have to make my life here, and this is where I want to live forever. So I decided to start the process. I was changing my work visa to an Aliyah, and thank God, from start to finish, it took me 3 months, and then I was done. And now I'm an Israeli citizen, and it is the greatest decision I've ever made in my life.
Okay, so let me just back up, because I want to make sure I heard you clearly. You said it took you 4 days to realize this is where you want to spend the rest of your life?
Yes, 4 days in quarantine. I had no friends, no family. I didn't see a single living person or outside my room, but I just felt something. You know, Israel has a special feeling. There's a connection here. There's meaning here. And I just felt it. I felt that I had to be here for the rest of my life.
All right. So that sounds a little crazy. So you got it back up a little bit, because nobody comes here for a year. Stam, just like that. So tell us a little bit first why you got here, because even to stay for a year is a commitment.
Ken, so I came here, I decided, I've visited Israel 3 times before my Aliyah. I came on different programs, you know, Israel advocacy programs, religious trips, and I absolutely just fell in love with the country. The first time I came to Israel, I was 20 years old, and I just fell in love with the country. So I resolved to come back every single year. And this year, I decided I wanted to spend an extended period of time here. You know, I was younger. I'd never lived away for that amount of time. And I said, I want to do it in Israel. I want to live in Israel for a year. So I transferred, you know, my work over here, got the visa. And then things change. You know, we think we're on a path, but God has different plans for us. And when I arrived here, it was just like coming home. And I knew in my gut, I couldn't leave. I could never leave here because this is where we need to make the rest of our lives as Jews. So thank God, I started the Aliyah process from within quarantine, and it worked out.
Okay, so you must have some serious network, because to come here when you're 20 years old and then two more times now, so you must be 23 or 24 now. And this is good, because to the people listening to this show, there are others in their 20s who are looking to make a move in their life, and this is where they want to move. So Lauren, you're a very good example of that. But you had a life, leading up to that first trip when you were 20 years old, I'm guessing. Okay, so why don't you tell 100%. Us a little bit about, tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Well, I come from a South African Jewish family. And it's, South African basically means we don't go to shul, we don't go to synagogue, but the synagogue we don't go to is Orthodox. We were pretty secular, but we knew about Israel, we knew about Judaism. I went to a Hebrew school to learn how to speak Hebrew. But never really cared particularly about Israel or Zionism, whatever. It's our homeland. It's a million miles away. It's a nice place to go on Taglit, to go on Birthright, but nothing particularly special about it. When I was 20, I came actually because I came for the wrong reasons. It's so funny. I came because a rabbi in the community offered me an extremely subsidized trip. It was 1 week before the trip was leaving. He said they had one spot open for participants in the community. I said, I've never traveled before. This is a great opportunity, to bounce from Israel around Europe, to meet new people, young people, to party, whatever. So that's why I came. And it was the best, worst decision I ever made in my life. I came here and I fell in love with the country. So thank God I was coming here for the wrong reasons, but I definitely stayed for the right reasons. And I did have a life in Toronto. So it's not the easiest thing to pick up and leave, but it is totally worth it.
I'm sure there are other people, your age, who can pick up and go anywhere in the world. But if Israel's been in your life, as you said, it makes sense to explore it a little bit and come and see for yourself. Tell us a little bit about Heirut.
Okay, so Heirut is a Zionist education organization. I'm the national director of Heirut Canada, but we are in America, we're in England, we're in Israel, we're actually in 11 different countries around the world. And we do Zionist education, we do activism, we do, the classic protests and counter-protests. We also do seminars, we run workshops, educational events. My job basically is to go to universities, high schools, and communities and give speeches about different things. The BDS movement, anti-Semitism, the history of the Arab-Israeli conflict, debunking the lies about Israel, stuff like that. So we're also a very young movement, we're a youth movement. A lot of our national directors in different countries are, 19 and 20 years old, which we're very excited about because we believe that Zionism needs to be pushed to the next generation, the younger generation.
Okay, that's very funny. You told us earlier that you grew up not going to synagogue. You made a joke about it and you said you didn't really know much about Israel. And here you are with a career pushing Israel.
Exactly. You never know where you're going to end up. But I never was involved with Israel or Zionism at all. And to be honest, feet on the ground in Israel changed that. Looking at it from a diaspora perspective, and then when my feet touched the ground in Israel, things changed. Things just clicked. It was like a light bulb went off.
Yeah, and how could that be? If you didn't know much except that it was someplace a million miles away, what happened?
I can't explain it. It's almost an indescribable quality that there's a connection, I believe, a connection when Jews come home and they have their first homecoming to Israel, things kind of turn on. The light bulb goes off, and thank God it did, because I got interested in the advocacy. I took one of those advocacy trips from university. At the same time, I was personally getting a little bit more involved with Judaism. Because of my first trip to Israel, I found a rabbi that I really liked from that trip, and we were learning together. And then added that with the Israel advocacy, things just started to, come together. And I saw the importance of both, and I saw the importance of working with and for Israel. And I felt I wouldn't say, I felt a responsibility, you know, we're Jews. For thousands of years, our ancestors have fought and died for this country, and now we're free in it. We're free and able to be here and live here and do whatever we want. So we do have a responsibility to educate others about that and, you know, support our land. And I just love it. I'm so grateful.
Good. Then everything you just said is so great to hear from someone who's 24 years old. There are plenty, you know, so many Jews who are not connected and who will fight for others. So we need more like you. So kol hakavod, Lauren, amazing. So good. So you're here, you did your aliyah here, which is a little different. And right now, I don't think that's even possible. The borders are closed to foreigners. Maybe that will lift, you know, at the end of the summer. Let's hope so. And people who can come here as visitors can come here and make aliyah when they're here. That's one way to do it. I mean, that's a great way to do it.
Exactly. I mean, it's difficult. It breaks my heart that foreigners and tourists and non-citizens can't come into the country right now. But please God, they'll be able to very, very soon.
Yeah, it's breaking your heart and it's breaking their hearts too. Believe me.
<Your heart. laughs> I know.
People are very frustrated. It's a very strange thing. This has never happened before, I don't think. And hopefully it'll never happen again.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to just ask you for a little bit of advice for people who are now looking with disdain at the situation. Okay, I can make Aliyah now, but it's very hard and it's going to take a long time and all their whatever reasonable or non-reasonable excuses. What do you have to tell our listeners to motivate them to push on?
Okay, so a few things. First of all, it is 100% worth it. I know there's so much stress when you're talking about Aliyah with any immigration. There's so much worry, anxiety. You know, I was worried as well when I made that decision, you know, just to stay here. My whole life was there. All my stuff was there. All my friends, all my contacts, my job, my money, all of it was back in Canada. So it was a huge stress. But that totally melts away once you make Aliyah and you see the realities of life here in Israel. It totally melts away. Everything comes together. You know, the government here, the Aliyah organizations here, Hashem, it's all in their will to help us make Aliyah successfully. Thank God. And it really, really does help. There's much more stress before you make Aliyah than when you actually make it. You see kind of a bigger picture. Once you make the Aliyah, you see how it wasn't, you know, that worrisome. It wasn't that problematic. It all works out. So I would definitely recommend that people don't let the fear or the anxiety about the actual move get in their way of making the move. Okay. That's number one. Okay. Number two, I'd say that making it from in the country definitely was different than making it from outside the country. But I did require a lot of the same documents and I had to go to a lot of the same government organizations. So I would say to people, if you're thinking of making Aliyah, get your documents in order. That's 100% the most important thing because it can speed up the process hugely. I know, you know, sometimes the process is convoluted and it takes a long time. My process only took 3 months because I had all my documents in order. I had, you know, my birth certificates and everything with apostilles on it and everything. So definitely get documents in order and come organized. Come to the table organized before you start the process. Other than that, I'd say it was the best decision I ever made, and there's no wrong time to make Aliyah. 100%.
You hear that? This is great. Well, I'm glad I had you on here. I could not have said it better myself.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio. Straight Talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.